wish to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we just ask your blessing, Father, on this time together. Thank you, Father, for all you do for us. Help us be faithful to you. Lord, we ask that you would fill us with your Spirit. God, that you would give us wisdom. Help us again in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to James chapter 4. We'll just begin in verse 1. I want to get down the verse here a little bit, but we'll just begin there just for good solid grounding. And the title I have above mine, it says Things to Avoid. And verse 1 says, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? I want to hear James. I'll say it again. I really just appreciate the smaller epistles. These James and John and Peter and Judas or Jude. And these little epistles that were written. Just little verses, just little chapters. We 4 or 5 chapters at the most. And these are written by the men who walked with Jesus. And I just can't appreciate that enough. I think they're discarded. A lot of people take their theology from Paul. And Paul's not wrong. But if you don't look at the scriptures through Jesus' eyes, you won't understand Paul. If you try to figure out Jesus through Paul, and you try to use his writings and you try to make Jesus fit his writings, you will not come up with light. You will not come up with truth. But if you look at Paul's writings through the eyes of Jesus and the writings of these brethren that walked with Jesus, you have an understanding. You can gain an understanding if you do this with an honest heart and let it guide you. Here, James, talking to his brethren. This was over or 2,000 years ago. Whenever Jesus had died, James was still on the earth. I mean, we're looking at this gospel 2,000 years old. We see the gospel today as it is. And so everything, we look through our glasses at the gospel. But here's James talking to the brethren that he was with. And we see that a lot of things really haven't changed. It says, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? He's talking to the churches. These are things to avoid, remember. Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? Whenever we think of these pleasures, he's not looking at the church and thinking, boy, they're just out for all the world has to offer. The lust, all of those things. They're way past that kind of stuff. This is the church. This isn't the evangelical church down the road or that just allows anything going or it isn't. This is the church that James is working with, the early, early church. And he's talking about what's the source of these wars and conflicts that you're having. In other words, they were bickering and fighting. And I think one of the things that we often don't think about is just pure old envy. They were probably jockeying for position, wanting to elevate each other, wanting to have the one up on of each other in the church world. This is the source. That's their pleasures that was causing them, the source of these quarrels and things. And we see the same thing happening today. Most church problems come with somebody thinking they ought to exalt themselves just a little bit and be above somebody else. Or they're envious because of somebody else in a position. And so they're undermining and trying to work it all out. That's the source of the pleasures that war in your members. You lust and you do not have. You commit murder. And like I say again, this is not talking about so much what we're talking about whenever we think of lust and murder. We're not talking about gangsters out in the street murdering each other. But this is the way he looks at this kind of stuff that's going on in churches. It's lust and murder. Whenever you would tear someone down to exalt yourself. When you would upset or tear up a church so that you could get your way. That's murder is what James calls this. It's an ugly thing. You know, we think of some of these churches and how the things they do, you know, and we just, well, that's just church. But if you would look at Hamas or one of these other groups that are evil, and the things that they do, you know, we look at that and we say, well, that's bad. But the very same thing happens in the church, and it's just, oh, it's just a church split. Or it's just something like that. But it's the Spirit, the same Spirit that is in throughout all the world. But when it's in the church, we just kind of, well, all them, you know, them Amish, they just tear each other up. And those Mennonites, sometimes they just get pretty, just real wicked whenever someone doesn't agree with them. But, oh, it's just church problems. They just split, started two new churches. And now we're just both going on. But James doesn't look at it that way. He calls it lust and murder. You lust and you do not have. Envy, lust, your position, your power. You commit murder. You're envious. There's envy. And you cannot obtain. So you just take them out at the knees if you can so you can get your place and your position. You do not have because you do not ask. And you ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. So that you may spend it on your pleasures. You know, I've seen it just when churches get together and they're going to ordain a minister, and oh, if they pick your lot, your lottery comes up and you become the one, oh, just the weeping and wailing. But underneath, you know, they're just, all right, I've got power now. It just put a big show a lot of times put on. And it's their pleasures. That's the pleasures he's talking about here. He would give these things if you ask properly. But you don't receive it because you ask amiss. Because really underneath it's all about power and control. The same as the world does. But it's, you know, winked at in the church. And then he says, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? In other words, you know, he's not talking about someone committing adultery here in the sense that we think. But he's saying, you adulterers that would, oh, I'm not an adulterer. So do you not know that the same thing that you're courting, that you want, is the same spirit that's in the world. And you think it's all right. Do you not know that friendship with the world, friendship with the world, you know, we think, well, we've got a worldly hat, or I drive a worldly car. That's the world. That is not what he's talking about here. He's talking about you have the same spirit as the world has. And you're friends with that spirit. And it doesn't justify it because you're going to church. Or you have a church authority. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world, whoever has the same spirit as the world, makes himself an enemy to God. It's the same old thing. Or do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the spirit which he can make to dwell in us. God jealously desires to give us the right spirit about all this thing. He wants to be here. He wants to be there. First part of James, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally and upbraideth not. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You see, we think of that in the sense that we talk about, you know, about some bad habit we have or a sin that we have. You know, which this is the key. Humble yourself, submit to God, and he'll give you grace. Humble yourself. Draw near to God. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. But what's he talking about here? Not even those bad things that we can have power over. But he's talking about something else. He's talking about having this same spirit that's in the world. They just wear different clothes. The answer, draw near to God. And he will draw near to you. You know, we think about that. Well, I'm separated from, you know, I'm kind of far away. You know, we see it in the brethren and the brother. You know, there's somebody that kind of gets off isolated by themselves and they start thinking, well, the brethren, I'm just not very close to the brethren. You know, and we see the story where Jesus had his disciples and there was some that were close to him. And I just say again, we are as close to God as we want to be. Because it's not God's part that's keeping us from him. We're as close to the brethren as we want to be. I mean, I know you people. And I know that anybody who wants to be as close to the brethren as they can, there won't be a finger lifted to keep you apart. This wide open. We're as close to God as we want to be. We're as close to the brethren as we want to be. We're as close to our spouse, our children, our family, anybody, as we want to be. And it all comes from God. He says, draw near to God, and I will draw near to you. But what's keeping us? Pride. The spirit of the world, that ugly spirit. But he says to humble ourselves. He says, be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak things to avoid again. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. Here again, it tells, you know, there is such freedom in not being a judge. We take so much on ourselves to have to determine where everybody stands with God. The problem is, is if we just be what we're supposed to be, there'll be people drawn to that and others will be separated from that. It's the principle that God established. There's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? In other words, whenever we set ourselves in, well, we don't agree with that. We don't agree with that, so we can't have fellowship here. What we're saying is, Jesus, step back. I'm the judge here. Almighty God in heaven, back up. I'm here now. That's what happens whenever we take it upon ourselves to do those things. Now, that really appreciated if, thought of that a lot. That poem that Corbin read, it is a blessing. And you know, it's like the one he liked, you know, if we can treat success and failure as both imposters. You know, they get us riding on our emotions up and down. We think we're really doing good when we're up high, and we think we're really doing bad when we're down low. But if both of those are fake and we just are faithful, come what may, God wants us on a level plane, trusting Him and letting Him take care of those storms. You know, it talked a lot about loss and doing something and somebody else taking the credit for it, or writing something or saying something and somebody take it and do whatever they want to with it. But it don't really matter. You know, it's humility is, you know, we think of the guy that, you know, boy, I'm humble. You know, and we kind of laugh at that, because he's just showing his pride all over his place, all over the place. And it's not about just saying, well, you know, what you've done or anything like that. That's not what pride's all about. Pride goes much deeper than that. Verse 13. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Making our plans. Yet, you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. You know, we hear that verse, and we think about that verse, but is it really? Do we spend our lives like it could just be here for a little while and be gone tomorrow? We plan. The one part of that poem says you dream, but you don't let your dreams become your master. How many times we have plans and guess what becomes our master? We've got to fulfill our goal. We've got to do this and that. And we're going to not let anything stop us. Your dream's your master at that point. Your dream is just like this verse, you know, we're going to do this. We're going to go do this and that. But do you not know that your life is but a vapor? You know, whenever you see a little puff of smoke, you can watch it for just a little bit and then it just dissipates and it's gone. That's our life. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is not too good. It's not what it says. It says all such boasting is evil. Well, there again, we kind of candy coat it because it looks not too bad, you know. It doesn't look like one, but it says it's evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him is sin. We know the right way. I want to read a little thing, and I'm thinking along this line that of our life is a vapor. This is something that was written uh, 20 years ago by Olin on his birthday, which is today. It says, what will I be like 20 years from now? Isn't that something? 20 years from now, I will be 42 years old. People will see me as a middle-aged person. Maybe a few gray hairs will have begun showing up in my hair or beard. 20 years from now, it's almost scary to think about. Why scary? Because 20 years from now, I will be what I am to a great degree. 20 years from now, I will be what I am to a great degree. Now people know a lot about what I am like. If I'm a kind, impatient, easygoing, friendly, or grouchy person, people will know little about that now. But 20 years from now, people will be able to tell even more plainly what kind of a person I am. For an illustration of this, think of a tree. What will I be doing 20 years from now? Will I have a happy wife, Mrs. Yutzi? Or will I still be single? Will I still be teaching school? If I'm still teaching school, will I be teaching my 22nd term? Everyone will say, that Olin has been teaching for a long time. If you new school teachers need any advice, just call him. Or will I have a business, a card that says Yutzi Roofing, Yutzi Enterprises, or something else? Maybe I'll have one or three sons working with me every day, other employees, a person who is living and forgiving, a person who helps others and makes other people happy every day, a person who loves God. That's pretty interesting. Think of a tree. What you are today is what you'll be 20 years from now. So what you're growing today will just get bigger. Today is the day that we are shooting for what we might be 20 years from now. What will we be like? A lot of us won't be here probably. But whatever we are today will be a part of that tree. And if we are something today that we don't want to be a big tree of, we better fix it today. If we're full of this pride and anger and bitterness and all that kind of stuff, it's just growing. It's getting bigger. We can lop those things off. This is where pruning comes in. We can draw near to God and get rid of all that garbage so that we can be a nice shapely tree. You know, we shape the little trees like they're going to look in 20 years from now, not because they look pretty today, necessarily. Heard a deal the other day that just kind of going back to this pride thing. This man told a young boy, just giving him a chance, and he said, I'm going to tell you the secret. He said, never feel like you deserve anything. Never feel like you deserve anything. That goes with that poem too, you know. Be able to do stuff, but always leave room for not being able to. Whenever you and I begin to think that we deserve something, that's a seed of that pride and envy and all of that stuff. And then when we get shorted, guess what? We're mad because we got shorted. But if we can live our life, you young boys, you think, well, I just want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do something. Because you think you deserve it. Well, if you'll get it in your head that you don't deserve it, when something comes along and you're asked to do something, or you get an opportunity, or you get to take the next step, or you get to take the... Not because you deserve it, it's because you've been asked to, and now it's a responsibility to be taken seriously. You can be successful at it. But if you go into things thinking you deserve it, you'll be a failure no matter how successful you might look. Life is but a vapor. Here for a little while and then it's gone. May God add His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? Praise the Lord.
I was thinking when you were talking about that, you know, like if you really are searching and you go to the evangelicals, you kind of get bumped into the Pentecostals or whatever, they want you to speak in tongues. And you either have to fake it or, you know, they expect something of you to be part of this group. And then if you're like, okay, that doesn't work, then you go towards the Amish and the Mennonites, and same thing, they expect something out of you to be part, but it has nothing to do with the Bible, you know, and they nitpick you until you either fake it or you back off, and I wonder if they realize how many people they run away from Christianity, because what they're asking isn't nothing to do with the Bible, but if you don't, how do you say, like, you know, go along with it, you don't really feel a part of it, you know? And therefore, it's just like people just throw their hands up and they walk away because there's nothing real. Yeah. That's something I really appreciate from here. You know, like, I think there's been a few times to where we bumped our head and been like, hey, this isn't the way that we should be going, and we try to turn around. Now, everybody makes mistakes, but at least we try to turn around, and it's just like, you know, it's like trying to explain to somebody why they need to wear a tunic. How are you going to explain that in the Bible? It's not there. Suspenders, driving a black car, speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues, you have to go a long ways to make it add up with the Bible. And it's just like, they don't even realize what they're doing, you know? Jesus never had a problem with the sinners. He always welcomed the sinners. He told them not to sin, but he always sat down with them. Who he had the problems with were the scribes and the Pharisees. And it's just, they don't even see what they're doing. Mm-hmm. It's like they're blind, you know? Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right. Yeah, if you boys have a problem with thinking that you deserve something, just ask me. I'll tell you. Or girls, either way.
Tell myself when I notice that I'm struggling, where I notice I'm just, my mind's in the wrong places, try to remind myself that it's not about me, which I often get derailed from and fail at it, but that's something that helps me kind of get back. It's not about me.
Praise the Lord. All right, well, God bless y'all. Depart in peace. We'll meet back at 6 o'clock this evening. God be with you.